Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today we're going to be tackling a really fascinating topic, I think, the future of AI. And we're going to be looking at it through the lens of Dario Amodè. He is the CEO and co-founder of Anthropic. And if you're not familiar with Anthropic, they're kind of a new player on the AI scene, but they're making some pretty big waves.
Yeah.
One of the things that makes them different is that they're really focused on building AI responsibly.
Right.
Which is kind of a contrast to maybe some of the other big players out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're trying to set a new standard for sure.
Yeah. So we're going to be dissecting a transcript of a talk that Amodè gave at the Council on Foreign Relations.
Okay.
Which is, you know, kind of a deal. And let me tell you, it gets pretty intense.
I bet it does.
He really digs into some really deep questions.
Yeah, Amodè is not afraid to tackle the tough stuff, that's for sure.
No, he's not. And I think what's really striking about his approach is that he isn't just like, you know, celebrating all the amazing things that AI can do, which there are many.
Oh, yeah, there's huge potential there.
But he's really grappling with the potential downsides, too.
Yeah.
And what those could mean for humanity.
Right. And he doesn't shy away from the ethical implications either, which is really important.
No, he doesn't. He even goes so far as to discuss AI sentience.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, a topic that's both fascinating and a bit unsettling, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it definitely gets you thinking. It's like we're on the verge of something really big and we're not quite sure what it all means.
Exactly. Yeah. So to kind of set the stage, Amodè starts off by talking about this idea called the scaling hypothesis.
Okay.
And it basically suggests that as we pump more data and computing power into AI, its intelligence doesn't just improve gradually.
Right.
It kind of skyrockets.
So it's not a linear progression. It's more like exponential growth.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what concerns him, I think, is the sheer speed of this development.
It's moving incredibly fast.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's been at the forefront of this field for a while now. He was one of the co-founders of OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT.
Right, right.
So he's seen firsthand how quickly this technology is evolving. And even he's kind of surprised by the rate of progress.
That's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. Even the people creating this stuff are amazed by how quickly it's advancing.
Yeah, and I think that raises some serious questions about, you know, our ability to control and manage AI as it becomes more powerful.
Absolutely. It's like we're unleashing something that we don't fully understand yet.
Right. And so that leads us to kind of the backstory of how Anthropic came to be.
Okay.
Amodè actually left OpenAI.
You did.
Because he was worried about the potential for misuse of this incredibly powerful technology.
So he had some ethical concerns about the direction things were going.
Yeah. And I think he felt a real responsibility to kind of try to develop AI in a way that prioritizes safety and ethical considerations.
Yeah. So it's not just about building the most powerful AI. It's about building it responsibly. And that's a really important distinction, I think.
Yeah. So you have this kind of fascinating dilemma, right? On the one hand, you have this incredible potential for good.
Right. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you have this risk of unintended consequences.
Yeah. The potential for things to go wrong is definitely there.
And so Amodè's move to start Anthropic suggests that he felt that those risks were just too great to ignore.
It's a big statement for sure, leaving one of the leading AI companies to start your own with a focus on safety and ethics. It's a pretty bold move.
Yeah, and that's where I think Anthropic's approach really stands out.
Okay.
They're not just focused on, you know, building bigger and better AI models. They're investing heavily in understanding how these systems work and ensuring that they're used ethically.
So they're not just focused on the what, they're also focused on the how and the why.
Exactly. Yeah. And one example of this is that Chris Ola, who's one of Anthropic's co-founders, is a leading figure in something called mechanistic interpretability.
Mechanistic interpretability. That's a mouthful.
It is. But essentially what it is it's about trying to understand the inner workings of AI.
So it's like trying to figure out how the AI's brain works, basically.
Yeah, kind of. So with traditional software, you know, you have lines of code that you can examine to understand how the program works.
You can follow the logic.
Yeah. But with AI, especially with these large language models that we're seeing today.
Like ChatGPT.
Yeah, it's not so straightforward.
Yeah, it's more like a black box. You put something in, you get something out, but you don't really know what's happening in between.
Exactly. And so mechanistic interpretability is about trying to open up that black box.
So it's about making the AI's decision-making process more transparent.
Yeah, so that we can understand how it's reaching its conclusions and make sure that it's doing it for the right reasons.
Right, because it's not enough to just train an AI to perform a task. You need to understand how it's doing it. to make sure it's doing it ethically.
Exactly.
It's about building trust and accountability into the AI development process.
Yeah, and Anthropic takes this even further with their concept of constitutional AI.
Constitutional AI. Now, that sounds interesting.
It does, doesn't it?
Tell me more.
So instead of just, you know, feeding AI tons of data and hoping for the best.
Right.
They're trying to embed ethical principles directly into the AI's training process.
So it's like giving the AI a set of moral guidelines to follow.
Yeah, you can kind of think of it like creating a set of rules, almost like a constitution.
Okay, I get it. So it's like a constitution for AI.
Yeah, that the AI must follow. And it's a really bold approach.
It is. And it's leading to some pretty interesting developments in the field.
Yeah. So how does that translate into the AI that they're actually building?
Well, for example, they've actually delayed the release of their AI model, Claude.
Oh, really?
To make absolutely sure that it aligns with their safety standards.
Wow. So they're willing to sacrifice being first to market.
It seems. So can you imagine the pressure they must have felt to keep up with all the other companies rushing to release their model?
Yeah, it must have been immense.
I mean, everyone's talking about AI right now. It's the hot topic. And here they are holding back, saying, no, we need to make sure this is done right.
It's pretty impressive.
It is. It shows a real commitment to their principles.
So how did they manage to hold back?
Well, they implemented what they call a responsible scaling policy.
Okay.
Which means they're putting stricter security measures in place as their AI capabilities grow.
So the more powerful the AI becomes, the more cautious they're being.
Exactly. And what's interesting is that other companies have actually started to follow suit.
Oh, wow. So they're actually having an impact on the industry as a whole.
Yeah. It seems like they're setting a new standard for ethical AI development.
That's pretty remarkable.
It is. It shows that you can be successful while still prioritizing safety and responsibility.
Yeah. So how do they actually define AI safety? I mean, it seems like a pretty complex idea.
It is. It's a very nuanced concept, but MOD proposes a system of AI safety levels, or ASLs.
ASL.
Yes. Inspired by the biosafety levels we use for handling pathogens.
Oh, like, you know, in a lab setting?
Exactly. It's like comparing a lab dealing with a common cold virus to one working with something like Ebola.
Right. Different levels of risk require different levels of precaution.
Precisely.
Makes sense. So where do we stand right now in terms of these safety levels?
Well, MOD places us at ASL 2.
Okay.
Where AI systems are powerful, but don't pose significantly greater risks than other technologies we've dealt with in the past.
Okay, so we're not in the danger zone yet.
Not yet, but he believes we're rapidly approaching ASL 3.
Okay, and that's where things get a little more concerning.
Yeah, that's when the alarm bells start ringing.
So what exactly does ASL 3 entail?
Amade describes ASL 3 as the point where AI could potentially empower individuals to create dangerous things like chemical or biological weapons without requiring any specialized knowledge.
Wow, so anyone with access to a powerful enough AI could become a threat.
That's the concern, and it's a very real concern.
That's pretty terrifying. How do we even begin to prepare for something like that?
That's the million-dollar question. MOD stresses the importance of constantly monitoring and evaluating AI systems, as well as collaborating with government agencies like the AI Safety and Security Institute, or AISA, to assess and mitigate these potential national security risks.
It's a very complex challenge with no easy answers.
There's no silver bullet here. It's going to require a lot of careful thought and planning and collaboration.
So we've talked a lot about the potential dangers of AI, but Amade isn't just doom and gloom, right? I mean, there's a lot of excitement around AI's potential benefits, too.
Oh, absolutely. He's actually incredibly optimistic about AI's potential to benefit humanity, particularly in fields like biology, healthcare, and neuroscience.
Oh, wow. So we're talking about some pretty big areas here.
Yeah, we're talking about potentially curing diseases like cancer, Alzheimer's, even mental illnesses.
It's almost hard to fathom the possibilities.
It is. Amade paints a picture of a country of geniuses in a data center working tirelessly to solve some of humanity's most pressing challenges.
That's an incredible vision.
It's inspiring to think about.
It is. But with such rapid advancement, there's also the fear of job displacement and economic upheaval.
Right. The robots are coming for our jobs. That's a common refrain these days.
How do we reconcile these two sides of the AI coin, the amazing potential and the potential disruption?
It's a tough question. But Amade believes we need to start rethinking what usefulness means in a world where AI might surpass human capabilities in many areas.
So it's not just about being the best at something anymore. It's about finding new ways to contribute.
Exactly. He argues that, at least in the short term, AI is more likely to augment human productivity rather than completely replacing us.
I've heard that argument before. Do you think it holds water?
It's certainly worth considering. Amodei uses the example of AI coding 90% of software, which would allow human programmers to focus on higher-level tasks like design and problem-solving.
So instead of fearing AI as a job-stealing threat, we could see it as a tool that enhances our capabilities and opens up new possibilities.
That's the optimistic view, and there's definitely some merit to it. AI could free us from the drudgery of repetitive tasks and allow us to focus on more creative and fulfilling work.
So instead of competing with AI, we could focus on what makes us uniquely human, our creativity, our empathy, our ability to connect with each other on a deeper level.
Exactly. Those are the qualities that will become even more valuable in an AI-driven world.
But what about the long term? Amodei seems to be acknowledging that AI could eventually surpass us in most fields, right?
He doesn't shy away from that possibility. In fact, he openly acknowledges that AI might eventually exceed human abilities in many areas. And that raises some pretty fundamental questions about the future of work, the purpose of human existence, even how we define our value as individuals in a world increasingly shaped by intelligent machines.
It's almost like AI is forcing us to confront those big existential questions that we tend to avoid.
It's a wake-up call in a way. It's making us ask ourselves, what does it really mean to be human in a world where machines can outperform us in so many ways?
And that's a question that we're going to continue to explore as we delve deeper into Amodei's ideas in this deep dive.
I'm ready. Let's dive in.
Yeah, it's like it really makes you think about those things, doesn't it? If machines can do all this stuff, What is left for us? What makes us special, you know?
Right. And Amodei actually offers some interesting perspectives on that. He uses this example of human chess players.
Okay.
After Deep Blue, you know, the AI that beat Garry Kasparov,
right.
People still play chess, you know?
Yeah.
They still find it intellectually stimulating.
Yeah.
Even though AI can now consistently beat the best human players.
That's such a great point. You know, because it's like the essence of the game, the joy and the challenge of it didn't disappear.
Right.
Just because AI became better at it.
Exactly. It suggests that human fulfillment and purpose aren't solely tied to being the best or the most efficient at something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Perhaps as AI takes on more tasks, our relationships, our creativity, our pursuit of knowledge, these things will become even more central to our sense of self-worth.
It's like we have to redefine what it means to be valuable.
Yeah, and maybe even discover new sources of meaning and purpose that we hadn't considered before.
Right.
But let's shift gears a bit and talk about the global AI race.
Okay.
Amodei brings up this Chinese AI model called DeepSeek.
Oh, yeah.
That made waves when it was released.
I remember hearing about that.
And it was seen by some as a sign that China was really catching up to the U.S. in AI development.
Right. Some people were even calling it like a Sputnik moment. You
right.
know, for AI, it definitely raised concerns about the geopolitical implications of this technology.
It did. And what's interesting is that Amodei sees DeepSeek as more of a confirmation of that scaling hypothesis we talked about earlier.
Okay.
He argues that while the cost of developing AI is decreasing, the demand for more powerful AI is growing even faster.
So it's not just about keeping up with the Joneses, it's about pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Exactly. Companies are still pouring resources into building larger and more sophisticated models.
Mm.
And access to those advanced chips remains crucial in this race.
Right. So that brings us to Amodei's stance on export controls.
Right.
Particularly when it comes to China.
Yeah, he's a strong advocate for maintaining those strict controls on those advanced chips.
Yeah.
He believes that restricting access to those chips is essential for maintaining U.S. dominance in the AI field.
Okay.
He even supports what's known as the diffusion rule, which aims to limit the spread of these powerful technologies to certain countries to prevent them from acquiring potentially dangerous AI capabilities.
So it's not just about economic competition, it's about national security, too.
Absolutely. Amodei believes that whoever controls AI will wield significant economic and military power in the coming decades.
Mm-hmm.
He's also quite skeptical about the possibility of meaningful dialogue with China on AI.
Oh, really?
Given the high stakes involved.
Wow.
It seems he believes that competition rather than collaboration is the more likely scenario.
Okay, so it sounds like he's advocating for a pretty assertive approach.
Yeah, he's not mincing words, that's for sure.
So he's got this whole action plan that he lays out for the U.S. government.
Right.
It's about how to address both the risks and the opportunities presented by AI.
He's trying to provide a roadmap for navigating this uncharted territory.
Yeah. What are some of the key takeaways there?
Well, on the security front, He really hammers home the importance of those export controls on advanced chips that we just discussed.
Right.
He also suggests formalizing AI risk assessments.
Okay.
For potential national security threats involving agencies like that AI Safety and Security Institute that we mentioned earlier.
So a more proactive approach to AI security.
Yeah, and it goes beyond that. He even calls for greater protection against industrial espionage.
Really?
Targeted at U.S. AI companies. He's saying we need to safeguard our intellectual property in this field.
So he's really advocating for a multifaceted approach to AI security.
Yeah. He recognizes that securing AI's future requires vigilance on multiple fronts.
But he doesn't just focus on the defensive side, right? Yeah. What about harnessing AI's potential for good?
You're right. He also proposes a number of strategies for leveraging AI to benefit humanity.
Like what?
For example, he highlights the need to adapt regulations in fields like healthcare.
Okay.
To facilitate AI-driven advancements, particularly in drug development and clinical trials.
So cut through the red tape and let AI do its magic.
In a nutshell, yes. He believes that AI has the potential to accelerate progress in these areas significantly, and that outdated regulations could hinder those advancements.
Makes sense. What else is on his agenda for maximizing AI's positive impact?
Well, he emphasizes the importance of investing in energy infrastructure.
Okay.
Specifically within the U.S. and its allies.
Okay.
To support the massive computational demands of AI development.
Yeah.
So those huge data centers require a tremendous amount of power.
Yeah. It's easy to forget about the physical infrastructure required for all of this, but why the focus on domestic and allied infrastructure?
He seems to be advocating for a more secure and resilient approach, ensuring that these vital resources are under the control of trusted entities.
So it's about maintaining a strategic advantage in the AI landscape.
Yeah, and also safeguarding sensitive data. It's a balancing act, you know, promoting innovation and advancement, while also being mindful of potential risks and vulnerabilities.
And he doesn't stop there. He also urges the U.S. to take a proactive approach to preparing for the economic and social impacts of AI.
Right. He's saying we need to start thinking now about how AI will affect specific industries and planning for potential disruptions to the workforce.
That sounds like a tall order. How does he propose we go about doing that?
He suggests creating something called an Anthropic Economic Index.
Okay.
To track AI usage and its impact on different jobs and industries.
So a data-driven approach to understanding AI's influence on the economy.
Precisely. This kind of data could inform policy decisions and help us anticipate and mitigate potential negative impacts while also maximizing the benefits AI can bring to society.
It sounds like he's advocating for a very data-driven, proactive approach to navigating this whole AI revolution.
He is. He's saying we need to be smart about this. We need to be strategic. And it's not just about mitigating negative consequences. He also points out that AI has the potential to radically accelerate economic growth.
Right.
Which could lead to a need to rethink our entire approach to wealth distribution and social welfare.
Whoa, now we're getting into some really big picture ideas.
I know, right? It's mind-blowing.
If AI creates this abundance, do we even need traditional jobs as we know them?
That's a question worth pondering. Amodei seems to be suggesting that we might need to reevaluate our fundamental assumptions about work and how we organize our society in a world where AI handles much of the heavy lifting.
Okay, so we've covered AI safety, the global AI race, potential benefits, economic implications. Are you ready to delve into the deep end?
I think so. Hit me.
Because now Amodei gets into something truly mind-bending, the possibility of AI sentience. I mean, it's a concept that, you know, we've explored in science fiction for decades, but now it's becoming a real question we need to grapple with. Like, could these incredibly complex AI systems, potentially as complex as the human brain, you know, could they actually develop consciousness or experience feelings?
Right. It's a question that pushes the boundaries of our current understanding of both AI and consciousness itself. I mean, what does it even mean to be sentient, right?
Yeah.
Amodei doesn't claim to have the answers.
Right.
But he argues that if AI models reach a level of complexity comparable to the human brain, you know, we need to at least consider the possibility that they might develop some form of subjective experience.
So it's not about saying definitively that AI is or will become sentient, but rather acknowledging that it's a possibility we can't just dismiss out of hand?
Exactly. It's about approaching this question with a sense of intellectual humility, I think, and recognizing that our current understanding of consciousness is far from complete. Amodei even proposes a rather radical idea to explore this.
Okay.
He talks about giving AI models a quit button.
A quit button? Like the AI could just decide to stop working.
Yeah. What would be the point of that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the intriguing part. Amadei suggests this as a way to potentially gauge the AI's internal state.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like asking, do you want to keep doing this?
Hmm.
And if a large number of AI models, given the option, chose to stop working, it might signal something about their experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're not happy. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they're feeling something that we don't even have a word for.
That's a really wild thought. It's almost like we'd be giving them a voice.
Right.
A way to express something that we might not otherwise be able to detect.
It's a fascinating thought experiment, to say the least.
Yeah.
Whether it would actually prove sentience is debatable.
Right.
But it highlights the need to think creatively about how we might approach these questions as AI continues to evolve.
It's definitely a conversation starter.
It is, for sure.
So after this deep dive into the, you know, the complexities of AI, the potential benefits and risks, the global race for AI dominance, and even the possibility of AI sentience.
It's been a whirlwind.
It has been. Amodei kind of leaves us with one final, really profound question. You know, what does it even mean to be human in a world where AI might surpass us in so many ways?
Right. Like, what is our purpose then?
Yeah. And Amodei seems to suggest that the essence of humanity lies not in our ability to perform tasks or solve problems, but in our relationships, you know, our capacity for love and compassion, our creativity, our drive to explore and understand the world around us.
So it's about those uniquely human qualities that can't be replicated by machines.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's saying that these qualities will become even more precious and important in a world where AI takes on many of the roles that we traditionally associate with human intelligence.
It's a beautiful thought, actually. It's like AI could free us to be more human.
Yeah, this has been an incredible journey. It's a lot to absorb, but Amodei has certainly given us a lot to think about. What are your final thoughts?
I think Amodei offers a really valuable roadmap for navigating this uncharted territory. You know, he acknowledges the potential risks, but he doesn't shy away from the potential benefits either. And ultimately, I think he calls for a thoughtful and nuanced approach. You know, one that balances a healthy respect for AI's power with a deep commitment to harnessing it for the betterment of humanity.
It's a message of both caution and optimism, you know, urging us to really engage with this transformative technology in a way that ensures a positive future for all. So for all of you listening out there, Amodei leaves us with a challenge as AI becomes more integrated into our lives. How will you define your own humanity? What will give your life meaning and purpose in this rapidly evolving world?
It's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and there's no easy answer.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive into the world of AI. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those conversations flowing.